Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 3 of the study of Hebrews. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Hebrews 13, 10 through 16. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us. We want to hear you and know you and encounter you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Hebrews 13, starting in verse 10. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. What our author here is talking about are some details about the law. If you've died in the graveyard of Leviticus, as they say, in the one-year Bible reading plan, it is where a lot of people give up and bail out. Generally, you know, like in February or March, whenever you get to that, I think it's probably February. You may not be familiar with this. If you've never read through the whole Bible, you may not be familiar with these regulations, but they are in Leviticus through Deuteronomy, Numbers, all of these kinds of things where, you know, they're supposed to, you know, take the blood of the animals and sprinkle them in the most holy place. And against once a year against the altar or against the the Ark of the Covenant. But every time they're making any sacrifice, not just the annual sacrifice, they're sprinkling the blood against the altar. And there's just lots of blood flying around. If you've never read through this and you go back and read Leviticus, you see there's just lots and lots of blood from these animals that are getting tossed back and forth in different places. And it's symbolic and there's all those kind of things. But they're supposed to take the carcasses of these animals, go outside and burn them outside the city gate. Pretty much anything that's considered unclean, like a carcass, is supposed to be outside the gate or outside of the camp, from kind of the nomenclature when the Israelites are wandering around, they're living in tents and all that kind of stuff. In fact, if there was anything unclean, then you had to, instead of spending that in your tent, you had to take a separate tent or go sleep under the stars and spend whatever requisite days the law required outside the camp because you were unclean. So everything unclean, we have this picture from the Old Testament, it goes outside. It's not allowed in. In the same way, we find out about the eternal city Jerusalem in Revelation that nothing unclean is allowed to enter it. And so our author is connecting these two points here. In the Old Testament, nothing unclean was allowed inside the camp or inside the city. In the eternal city, nothing is allowed in that's unclean, but Jesus, who is perpetually clean, there's no spot or blemish in him. There is no sin. He was taken, he was crucified outside the city walls like something that was filthy and unclean. And so our author is putting these things together and said, let us bear that disgrace. Let us be called by his name. As opposed to trying to pretend to this purity, the self-righteousness that is so common within humanity, where we want to make ourselves clean or assume that we're clean. You know, Jesus put it this way when he was telling the parable. He's like, if you're invited to a party, don't go take the seat of highest honor. Take the one of lowest honor. And then if you're honored, the guests will be like, what are you doing down there? Get up here. Take the seat of honor. But if you take the seat of honor presumptuously and the whoever's throwing the party comes in is like, what are you doing here? No, that's for these other people that are important. You get out of here. You know, you'll be embarrassed. One is definitely better than the other. So in the same way, let's not walk around assuming this righteousness of ourselves. Why don't we bear the disgrace of Jesus and go low? That doesn't mean if you're thinking of the nomenclature of going low as far as, you know, maybe like political attack ads and things like that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about walking in humility. We're talking about taking the lower seat. We're talking about assuming that we are not the ones in the room that are righteous. It's very easy for us when we self-justify and we think, well, we are better than so-and-so and all that kind of stuff. Then we look down on other people. Why not instead think of ourselves as the ones who don't deserve to be inside that camp and go out with Jesus, who did deserve to be inside, who did deserve to be inside the walls of that city, but he went low for our sake. Why don't we do the same thing for others? Look at them as no worse than ourselves. Understand people in that light. It's powerful and it will change us because we don't need to care about how necessarily people think of us now. We don't need to care whether or not people esteem us as holier than thou or righteous or whatever. I mean, we want to do good. We want to be good people, but we don't need to strive so that people think that of us. There really is a very real city that we have to inherit. And it's worth so much more than even a reputation in this life. And a reputation, the Bible says a reputation is valuable. It's not worthless. It's of great value, great worth. But what we have in eternity is of infinitely more value than anything we have in this life. Verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And this is alluding to the passage of scripture where he says, you know, your sacrifice, I have no delight in your sacrifices. I'd rather just obey, like do the things that I've asked you to do instead of sacrifices. But when we are offering ourselves as a sacrifice, when we're going low, when we're putting others before ourselves, God is pleased with those. And the sacrifices he wasn't pleased with in the Old Testament was when people were, you know, offering out of their excess the money that they had, but then still living any way they wanted to, cheating people, walking in immorality, you name it. You name it. The Lord said, I'm not pleased with your sacrifices. They're meaningless to me. They're of no value because of the way you live. You don't value justice. You don't value anything that I value. And you say that, you know, you're sacrificing to me. You're not sacrificing to me. But when we're sacrificing ourselves, when we're giving of ourselves, doing good to others and sharing with others, God is pleased with those sacrifices. He does love that, that sacrifice of praise. When we are humbling ourselves and lifting him up, lifting other people up, God is pleased with that. That's the first and the second commandment. You know, the ruler came to Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it. Love others as you love yourself. You know, against these things, there is no law. These are the things that surround us. They should fill us. It's what we should be about. It should control the thoughts of our mind and the actions of our feet. Loving the Lord our God, offering him a sacrifice praise and laying ourselves down for others. Now, with that said, there are some of you who I don't want you to misunderstand that. There's some of you that may be in abusive relationships or you're in places where you're being taken advantage of and things like that in very unhealthy ways. Laying yourself down for others is not the same as staying with an abusive husband. It's not the same as letting people just blindly take advantage of you over and over again. That's not what we're talking about here. Now, occasionally, it might mean that you see someone is taking advantage of you and you let them do it. You go with it. Occasionally it might be that, you know, someone actually gets physically violent with you. Occasionally. I mean, these things, that's within the realm of what we're talking about here. But for the most part, we're actually talking about willingly laying ourselves down for others, not necessarily just allowing people to run roughshod over us. So this is not talking about the battered woman. That's not what we're saying here, that just keep on doing it for the sake of Jesus. No, get out of that relationship. People are constantly taking advantage of you. Stop it. Don't let them do that anymore. Go move on to something else. Do something else. Get rid of them as friends. Cut them off as family if they're destroying you. I want to be just very clear with that. There is a difference. And so, most of you are probably thinking, you know, that never would have crossed my mind. But some people, because of control in their lives as children and things like that, this is a very difficult thing to really get settled, and those issues get conflated very easily. And so please don't hear that I'm saying, you know, lay yourself down, have a sacrifice of praise for God and others. That doesn't mean stay with the husband that's going to keep beating the crap out of you. Don't do that. Get out. Don't let people in your business place or whatever keep taking advantage of you and using you to get promotions for themselves. Don't do that. Don't let them keep doing that. Again, occasionally, if there's a situation where you really feel like the Lord is calling you to lay yourself down to that on an occasion, okay. But if it's like habitual, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. So I just wanted to make that distinction very clear. What ends up driving a lot of times people that have a hard time getting those two things confused is fear. It's not faith in God that says, I'll stay with the husband that's going to keep beating me. That's not faith that keeps you there. It's fear of what's on the other side of life if you leave. And it's not faith that says, oh, I'm laying myself down for these people that are taking advantage of me all the time. It's actually fear of, I might lose my job, or they might do this, they might not like me, you know, so I'm just going to keep submitting myself to whatever kind of ridiculousness people want to put me through. There's a difference. Don't conflate faith with fear, ever. The Lord does want us operating in faith, but he doesn't want us laying ourselves down as a doormat to other people because we're afraid of what life might look like on the other side. The Lord wants us to rise above those kinds of fear and walk in truth faith, which does require sometimes to lay down ourselves for others, but it doesn't mean that if they want to make a practice of it, that we keep letting them. Okay, hope that was clear. That's not really, I think that's important. I think that's an important distinction to make, because not all of you, not everyone listening to this is going to wrestle with that, but a good percentage of you do. I want to make that clear. The Lord is not asking you to stay in abusive and painful relationships. He's just not. That's not what this means. And very often those abusers and those people that are taking advantage of you, they'll use passages like this. I've seen religious folk use passages like this to try and keep people in abusive situations. So don't let someone do that to you. That's not what we're talking about here. It's something completely different. And if you're in one of those relationships, get out of it. Spend some years getting healed from that before you come back around to trying to wrap your mind around what a sacrifice of praises and laying yourself down for others means. Get healed before you try and jump back into that. Because I've seen many people just spiral out of control because they get a little bit of healed from things and then they jump right back into bad situations. So don't do that. Don't let other people justify abusing you and using you because of these passages. These passages are beautiful. Don't let other people use them. Anyway, all right. I went on too long with that, but I really pray that there are some of you listening that can find hope and faith and courage in that and get freedom from situations you may be in. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.